This is Colorful Radio.
Our music, our news,
our views.
Our next guest this morning is Nathaniel Peat, who must be the luckiest man alive at the moment. jealousy written all over our faces here now. Definitely. Just before I actually have a conversation with Nat, I think it's worthwhile identifying that Nat has won so many awards, it almost goes down off the bottom of the page. Brunel University Alumnus of the Year winner of London Peace Award in City Hall, invited to become a Fellow of the RSA, winner of the Precious Award, Manor of the Year. It's just so many different awards. And what his latest achievement is that he spent a week with Richard Branson, but not some week with Richard Branson here managing Virgin Atlantic, but a week on the island of Necker. For those of you who don't know where it is, it's Richard Branson's own private island in the West Indies. We have jealousy all over this studio. Good morning, Nat.
Morning, Rob. How are you keeping?
I'm fine, but as I say, we are just so jealous. We want to know where we do the applications. But more seriously, could you take us back a stage and explain to the listeners what you had to do to get this award, this position of going over to the islands in the West Indies?
Yeah, well, most definitely. I mean, I started my other business, GenX, which is a renewable energy company, actually on the Virgin Media Pioneers platform, which is it's a platform to bring young entrepreneurs together to get them connected and so forth. And actually met my business partner for this business on that platform. And, you know, we've had a lot of support from Virgin, with Virgin Unite and Virgin Media Pioneers and also Virgin Startup. And I actually needed a little bit of funding into the business, where I applied for a startup loan with Virgin to help to boost the business as we were expanding into Africa and also the Caribbean. And we have been really disrupting the space in technology. Instead of just giving people on the ground in Africa, you know, solar products, what we're trying to do is teach them how to build it. We're teaching young people how to build, assemble, maintain, install solar devices. So what it does is it gives them training, education, and also gives them power so that they can actually survive in rural districts of Africa and also the Caribbean. And you know, the Virgin Startup and Virgin Unite put out a very closed competition to some of the businesses that are creating a change in a very dynamic way in the world, or what they call disruptive impact. And my business was one of the ones which was actually selected as a potential candidate, and they asked us to submit a video about what we're doing. I submitted a video, and I was the only UK winner.
Wow. So you say the only UK winner. Were you there with other people? Or was it just yourself? I say just yourself, but with the Bransons, or did you have people who'd won from other businesses in the EU or in Africa or in the West Indies, or what?
There was only two businesses that were selected globally, so it was a global.
That is a real honour.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. And I was actually there with a South African named Zakeni, who has a very, very innovative business also, you know, in Africa around education. But, you know, I'm meeting several of their criteria that we're really having a social impact in climate change, you know, gender equality by training women and young people, you know, looking at rural electrification, also education and training and providing jobs. So it kind of ticks all the boxes with Virgin Unite, and it was just such an amazing opportunity. So there was two of us were out there with some other world-changing entrepreneurs and philanthropists, investors and other such people to discuss a lot of topical issues that we can actually impact the world with and create a better you know force. To create change for many disadvantaged people in the world.
So that's a nice place in which to change the world, to start to think about and discuss ways of changing the world. Did you get a one-to-one with Richard by the pool?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we had quite a lot of conversations, and the last probably most memorable conversation was on the last night, on the Sunday night, where I had a good 10-minute conversation with Richard about what we're doing directly, and at breakfast. You wake up, I was staying in his house, but so you wake up and he's at breakfast, at lunch, he's at dinner.
There he was.
Oh, and Gene also, who is the CEO of Virgin Unite, had, kind of briefed Richard at one of the breakfasts about Gen X. So I actually got to tell him about that. And, it's just really fantastic hearing someone of his level congratulate you in terms of the work and give you a commendation of keep going and well done for the work which you're doing. So it was just fantastic, a really eye-opening experience, and made some major connections whilst I was there, which was just amazing, fantastic.
Is there one message that you came away from your time there that you will find yourself in 1 year or 5 years still thinking, yeah, I got that while I was on NECA?
Absolutely. There's things which have reinforced ideas already. I mean, one major one which was reinforced was that leaders eat last. In the context of you look after your people first, that was a very strong message which came out through through the actual gathering. Other things such as looking at when you're looking at growth, make sure you go for quality first. So it was just an amazing opportunity, and I walked away with a lot of stuff, but the main one was really about inspired leadership and collaborating, joining forces to actually create a change. So working in partnership is the best way.
You've referred to your company Gen X several times. What does it actually do, and where is its effort concentrated in terms of which parts of Africa or the West Indies or whatever? And what do you see as the growth for the business?
Well, basically, Gen X is a renewable energy company, and we operate predominantly in Africa and the Caribbean. We're hoping to expand into Latin America. And what we
just take on the world, why don't you?
Yes.
There's 1.25 billion people around the world that don't have energy. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of countries. And so what we're trying to do is empower them, not just by giving them our solar products, but empowering them by teaching and training them how to build it themselves, by giving them the business entrepreneurial skills so that they can sell it. And on top of that, by giving them those two skills, it allows them to get income and elevation from poverty. It's really to try to stop. It's fighting against energy poverty. Without electricity, that you can't have correct sanitation. Young people, actually, I think the figure is close to 3 million young people die every year from indoor fumes from biogases when they're cooking food indoors and lanterns, and they burn themselves with kerosene lanterns. That's unacceptable in the 21st century. And so what we're trying to do is disrupt and expand into the areas whereby there's that great need. So we've got two offices at the moment in Kenya. We're looking at trying to expand across East Africa, and we're in Jamaica in the Caribbean, going into Haiti, and we're hopefully going to be hitting Latin America pretty soon.
Well, they say if you give a man a fish, then he comes back constantly, but if you teach him how to fish, then he's made for life. And this is amazing, your company. It sounds really, really like something that's absolutely essential for the next generation. Excuse me. And I just wondered, because you're working in such difficult areas, like the Caribbean, South America, Africa, where people are, they're not progressing as fast. They have to be sold the ideas of new things, much less be taught how to make and sell them. How do you manage to control all of that? Do you have a large staff? How do you manage to control it?
We mobilize people on the ground. So the key thing is working in partnership. So you can't, I live in the UK. I can't go into Africa and expect to tell them what to do. So it's actually mobilizing people on the ground that understand the culture, understand, exactly what the needs and demands are. Also, the other thing is this, it's not hard to sell these products. The reason why is because it's not a want, it's a need. The people need it. Mm-hmm. They need electricity. They want electricity. So when we bring when we take the product there, it's a no-brainer. It wins straight away. But just expand a little bit what we're doing in the UK to disrupt the space here as well is we're training young people in schools that are not engaged in science and technology how to actually assemble and build solar. And we've just finished a project, in fact, with Eastleigh Secondary School in Newham, where 13 and 14-year-olds have built solar lanterns that we're going to be shipping out to a rural school in Africa. So it's not just about disrupting the space in the developing world, but is actually trying to get into the minds of our young people here to get them inspired in science and maths and innovation and technology so that they engage in the curriculum so that they can actually become the leaders of tomorrow.
You said just now that you were there with a guy from South Africa, and obviously South Africa faces the same problems that you were addressing in Kenya and other places. I know it's a very different business, but did you find yourself thinking, I could work with this guy, he's so energetic that I'll actually start tackling the problems in South Africa rather than in Latin America?
Absolutely. I mean, from the time we found out we were going together, we were already talking about how we're going to collaborate together. And, you know, we're probably going to, our next innovation is probably going to be together. You know, he's got a nice little invention that teaches, that has education loaded onto a system that any young person in a school can actually download it from a Wi-Fi hotspot in a rural area. And it's powered at the moment by a battery. So we're actually talking about collaborating whereby we can power it using solar energy. So, the collaboration's already started. And the thing is, you can't be around other eagles and not fly with them. That's the thing. You know, if you associate with chickens, you never fly with the eagles.
I love that analogy.
Nat, I think we started this interview, this discussion, in a state of jealousy. I think I'm going to finish it now. Unfortunately, we could talk for ages, but it's in a state of envy, and the envy is purely the sheer level of energy and achievement that you seem to be driven to. Can I take this opportunity to wish you all the best in all these projects, whether it's linking with kids in schools in East Ham or in Africa or the West Indies or wherever you may happen to go. We'll talk to you on another occasion and we'll get another dose of energy. Thank you very much. That was Nat Pete, who's been with Richard Branson for a week. Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic.
I know, wasn't it amazing?
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.